Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello and welcome back to the show. Hey Dad, how you doing?
Hello, Tater, doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. We're in the height of the spooky season. The veil has thinned. It's my favorite time of year, so I'm just in the best mood.
Oh, yeah, all the leaves are changing and falling and crispness in the air and the pumpkins are rolling.
Pumpkins are rolling.
Yeah.
Have you carved any pumpkins yet?
No, I have not. Now, the girls went to a thing they had last night. It was a thing to raise money, and it was chefs versus surgeons. And it was a pumpkin carving competition that had some of the local chefs versus some of the local surgeons to see who could make the best, cut out the best pumpkins.
Oh, that's cute. Who won?
I don't know. I only knew like Drew Hetzer that, you know, does backyard and what's the other one next door?
Well, was it a chef or a surgeon that won?
I don't know. I don't know who won. No. I did. All right. They were streaming it. The girls were there at it, and they were streaming some of it live, so I was looking at a little bit of it while they were doing it, but I never did see the final outcome.
I'd be curious.
Yeah.
I feel like pumpkin carving is, it's a game of precision and style, and I feel like the chefs would have more style, but the surgeons would have more precision.
I would hope, I really didn't see any of the final works, but I would hope they did things that were very original and not just your typical triangular eyes, triangular nose, and a crooked mouth, you know?
I would hope so.
Because that's all I'm capable of.
I mean, that's fine. That's classic. Nothing wrong with that. Have you had anything good to drink this week?
Well, while Riley was home this past weekend, we did have some espresso martinis together.
Oh, that's
because,
your thing.
Yeah, and Riley likes them too. She likes the ones that Dad makes, so she shares those with me. So we had those and had a few of those, and they were pretty good.
Wow.
What about you? You have anything?
Have I had anything good this week? I am making something that I'm excited about. I haven't actually, it's still processing, but, another sort of spooky movie-themed cocktail, just for my own enjoyment. I recently watched The Witch, you know, the one that came out just a few years ago with, what's that actress, Anna Taylor-Joy, Joy Taylor, Anna. She's very pretty, and she has three names.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the movie set in, like, colonial America, where the family is threatened by witches in the woods.
And what's it called, The Witch?
It's just called Witch.
Just called Witch. I don't think I saw that.
It's good.
It's not ringing a bell.
It's on HBO Max. It's good. But there's a very, like, quotable line from that where the devil is talking or some sort of demonic force and says, "Wouldst thou love the taste of butter?" So I made a brown butter, fat washed apple brandy. And a rosemary demerara, and I'm going to try to put them together into a witch-themed cocktail. So it'll be, the apple being like the original sin. They also talk about apples in the movie, so it made sense. So we'll see how it comes out. But ideally, it'll be apple brandy with the fat wash, the rosemary demerara. I've got some apple blossom bitters and maybe some nocino to bring in a witchy element.
Oh, nocino makes everything better.
Yeah. So that's it's going to be my little Halloween treat. I don't really have plans, but I will try a new cocktail.
It's a witchy buttered apple.
Yes, exactly.
That sounds good.
But hey, on the topic, I bet a lot of people right now are contemplating Halloween-themed drinks.
Well, of course, for their Halloween-themed parties they're going to be having this weekend, I'm sure.
Well, we thought we would make sort of a little... a little Halloween drinks 101, a little guide. If you're racked for ideas, I mean, this will go up on Friday, so you'll still have a little bit of time. You may have a day or two to put something together, but just a little rundown of all of the ideas you might want to include in your Halloween drinking.
Yeah, try to make it so you don't have to. That's one of the things you don't have to worry about is what should we do? We'll just tell you.
We got a lot of ideas for you.
Yeah. We're the idea guy. We're just spitballing here.
Basically, this is going to be a little all over the place, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to start off with the least work involved is just the drinks that already exist that are already kind of spooky, have spooky names, spooky ingredients. So, and they actually go together in ways that I feel like if you wanted to have, a party centered around your cocktail menu, they could be really fun. Starting off with the zombie, of course. I think we talked about on Halloween last year, right? That's when we did our zombie episode.
Right. And, you know, the zombie is a no-brainer.
Ha ha. Well, you know, but it's not because it's got so many damn ingredients. So they need all those brains so they can remember the ingredients in a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah, use them before they get eaten.
Absolutely. Well, so a zombie, if you're not familiar, well, if you want to know all about it, go back to last Halloween's episode. But it's a tiki classic. It's an invention of Beach Bum Berry. And the original had a mix of rums, lime juice, falernum, grenadine, Pernod, Don's Mix, which is that grapefruit cinnamon syrup, and Angostura. But there's also two other versions that are fairly well known. There's one from 1950, and there's one from, I think, 1956, sometime later 50s, and they alter that original recipe slightly. They have, some have more fruit juice in them, pineapple, passion fruit juice, different liqueurs, maraschino is involved in one of those, and I've been to tiki events where people will make all three of them, so you can try them side by side, which is really cool, because they are very different in the glass.
Oh, yeah.
So, I propose, here's my first idea for a party idea. You could pre-batch them all, honestly. All of your zombies, make them all, have three zombies as your menu, and then have everybody just dress like a undead horde of Jimmy Buffett fans, and there's your concept.
So, there you go.
Island drink, tiki drink party themed around zombies. Everybody's a zombie, and everybody drinks zombies.
Wasting away again in zombie land.
Yep. But if you want to be a little classier, if you want to be a little more fancy, I can actually kind of do the same concept, but think instead of a Jimmy Buffett concert, we'll think about like the Overlook Hotel, you know, like when the bar that Jack Nicholson's character goes to when it's filled with people,
right.
The fancy revelers that are all undead. We'll be more of that vibe, and you can do that.
Here's Johnny.
And here's the Corpse Reviver. Because the Corpse Reviver also has multiple recipes that you could use. And they're all nicely different. So you could actually have a pretty unique menu using just the Corpse Reviver number one, the Corpse Reviver number two, and the Corpse Reviver number three, sometimes called the Savoy Corpse Reviver. But, of course, the Corpse Reviver number two is the one that most of us know. That's the one that's very popular. That's that mix of gin, lemon, curacao, and lillet or coquí americano, depending on which way you want to go. But there are others in that family. The Corpse Reviver number one is it's a mix of cognac, calvados, and sweet vermouth, so it's a bit more of like a fruity Manhattan. And then the Savoy Corpse Reviver, or the Corpse Reviver number three, is an equal parts mix of Fernet, creme de menthe, and brandy. So three very different drinks. You've got one that's sort of bittersweet and a little bit like more dessert. You've got one that's bright and effervescent and shaken. And then you've got one that's a little bit more structured and stirred. It'd be a really cute menu.
Well, I think we've tried those before. And number two was the one I think we liked the best, or at least I did, I think. I know Mom likes that one better, too.
Yeah, number two is the one. I mean, that's the, usually if somebody orders a Corpse Reviver in a bar, they mean the number two. That's the only one that really gets play on any menus. It is kind of funny because, I mean, it seems weird, but Corpse Reviver was just a category of drinks. It's sort of like the same way that eye opener used to be a category of drinks, just mm-hmm. a drink you would have in the morning to wake you up, which an old fashioned was one. That's I love that. Oh, you know, just first thing in the morning. 8
it's
a.m.
an eye opener.
Just 2 ounces of hard liquor. So corpse survivors were just supposed to be like hangover cures or invigorators. And over time, the one recipe that stuck around was the number two. But you can still go back and find like different things referred to as corpse survivors over the years. But these three are at least they're replicated enough that I would say that you can find standard recipes and, you know, they're tried and true.
Yeah, the number two, you have it on a regular basis.
I think you're making a poop joke there somehow. I don't know.
About number one and number two, and I couldn't help but stray in that direction.
No, you could have helped, but you did anyway. This is the fancy party, Dad. We're not talking about this at the fancy party idea.
All right.
Another menu idea. If you want a murderous menu, don't everybody come as your favorite horror movie slasher or something or historical killer. I don't know. But I have a trio, another trio to suggest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First up, an excellent aperitif, A Death in the Afternoon.
Oh, which, Death in the Afternoon. Maybe it's an Agatha Christie novel.
Oh, yeah. That is just, of course, it's another Hemingway favorite. I say that as if he didn't like every drink he came across.
Except for the one they made wrong that time that he threw against the wall or whatever it was.
Well, there was that. There was the other one that like actually tries to claim him as a drinker of it, and he went out of his way to say, no, I don't drink that. But most drinks Hemingway enjoyed. But The Death in the Afternoon is named after, I think, one of his novels, I think is where the name comes from. But it's very simple. It is just champagne and absinthe. So, you know, no work in that one. You just mix it up. It's delicious. It's simple. And from there, you could go to a Blood and Sand. Of course, named after the movie about bullfighting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a good... It's equal parts scotch, orange juice, cherry herring, and sweet vermouth. We did a whole episode about it as well. And, you know, some people play around with the proportions if it's not for you. But it's a spooky name. It's a beautiful, like, deep red drink when you make it. And then if you need a third course for that, you could do a Last Word.
A Last Word.
Of course. Equal parts gin, lime, maraschino, green chartreuse. It's a beautiful, smoky green color. One of my all-time favorites. I think... the essence of just a kind of a sexy, spooky drink.
All right. Well, that sounds like three good triplicates.
And, you know, this year Halloween is on a Monday. So, you know, I don't know if you want to be out late, but if you want to do like a Halloween brunch, well, I've got you covered there too. You could do a Bloody Mary is obvious, of course.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But to complement that, you could do an El Diablo. Which, have you ever had an El Diablo, Dad?
No, but that means the devil, doesn't it?
It does. This is a devil theme, Mary. We got Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, that's demon. Sure.
Yeah.
El Diablo. It's a tequila drink. It's tequila, creme de cassis, lime juice, and ginger beer. So it kind of fills that like shandy void that you would have at a brunch service. You know, it's light, it's spicy, it's refreshing. And you got to have something with orange juice in it. So why don't we just go hardcore. Let's do the Red Devil. The Red Devil is one of those, it's kind of one of those frat boy drinks. Have you ever had a Red Devil?
I never had a Red Devil.
I feel like you might have had something close to a Red Devil, because it's orange juice, triple sec, vodka, peach schnapps, and Southern Comfort.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you just added some to a screwdriver.
Oh, well, it's a screwdriver and I don't know, sex on the beach, a lot of things around the sort of same area, a hurricane almost, like, And there are lots of recipes for the Red Devil. Some of them throw gin in there. You don't need to do that. But it's a good orange juice plus some extras, I think, for a Halloween menu. So
there you go. You're getting your vitamin C as you're getting drunk in the morning.
Yes. Drunk in the morning, death in the afternoon. All right, so there's some menu suggestions. If you don't want to do any work, you're still going to have to do work, but, you know, you can just go with recipes that are already out there, tried and true. But let's say you want to get creative.
I came across a few other ones.
Oh yeah.
That looked like they would be pretty good. One's called Witch's Brew Drink, and it uses Midori melon liqueur, Contro, and lemon juice. So it's a pretty green color when you mix that up. The Vampire's Kiss cocktail. Have you heard of that one?
I have heard of that. What is that?
Vodka, Chambord black raspberry liqueur, cranberry juice, lemon juice, and grenadine.
Yeah, that.
So it's a red drink.
Yeah, it sounds red.
Now, they have like three of them that are basically, they put together a pumpkin martini, a pumpkin old fashioned, and a haunted pumpkin patch margarita. And probably the biggest difference is they took some like pumpkin, you know, the stuff that comes in the can, and they mix that in there with the drink. So it makes it kind of, it changes the texture of it, and it also adds that pumpkin flavor to it, but it keeps most of the basic recipes for all three of those drinks, but with pumpkin mixed in.
You know, that's, I think, because we're going to, from here, I'm going to give you some sort of, if you want to DIY your stuff, we'll give you some suggestions for that. But on the subject of pumpkin, you know, it is kind of a hard flavor to harness in a drink, because pureed pumpkin, like, you can use it. It will settle in a drink over time, and it's a little not sexy to have separated pumpkin puree in the bottom of your drink. It works great in a blended drink or in a frozen drink. Pumpkin's a great additive to that. If you drink it fast, it's not really going to bother you. But I would like to remind everybody that the flavor that we kind of associate with pumpkin pie is really made from pumpkin spice, and that has no pumpkin in it. That is cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, allspice, cloves, you know, however complex your pumpkin spice is. But you can use pumpkin spice spices and make like a demerara syrup and then pair it. This is my trick. You pair it with a vegetal base spirit, because that's the thing you get. That's the only flavor you really get from the pumpkin, right? Like, have you ever eaten like a spoonful of plain pumpkin? Not pumpkin pie, but just pumpkin.
You mean out of the can, like where you get it to make a pumpkin pie? Yeah, it's not, it doesn't have any sugar in it or anything yet, so it's, or cinnamon or anything, so it's pretty dull, yeah.
All right, it's just kind of vegetal, a little sweet, but it's really just sort of, it's just vegetal. There's not much more to it than that. So you can use that pumpkin spice flavor profile, and then use, like, I like it with a Blanco tequila is really good. Mm-hmm. Tequila kind of has that sort of earthy vegetal quality to it. A white rum works really well, kind of in the same way, or like a agricole has a bit of an earthiness to it, a bit of a grassiness to it. So I think that's the better way if you want to mimic that pumpkin pie flavor. If you wanna use the pumpkin pie puree, that's all you. Do your thing. I won't judge you. As long as you like it, that's all that matters. But if you don't, use the spice profile and then just use a base spirit that gives you a vegetal quality.
Well, I did notice that, like on the margarita, they used a cinnamon and sugar mix to rim the glass, not salt, to go with the pumpkin margarita.
Huh. I still think you'd eat salt, but you could use both. Well, but like in the realm of tips to making your own drink, let's talk about some of the stuff that comes up when you're trying to make spooky drinks. Starting with base spirits. Or spirits that kind of already come with a spooky vibe, you know. I think the most there's one that's the most obvious, right?
What, Strega?
I was gonna say absinthe.
Absinthe. Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, absinthe always kind of carries that air of danger with it. You know, it's not dangerous at all. Any absinthe sold, especially in the States, is highly controlled. And
it used to be, I guess, a long time ago they made it different. But.
Well, we talked, you know, absinthe got a bad reputation because it was thought like, oh no, it's psychedelic and the wormwood and it's dangerous. It was dangerous just largely because we didn't know how to prove spirits back then. So it was all over the place as to whether it could be, maybe it was, you know, maybe it was 40%, maybe it was 50%, maybe it was 90% alcohol. We just weren't very good at controlling alcohol proof at that time period. And that was added with this sort of this reputation for wormwood as being psychoactive, it by and large wasn't. It was just because people were dying because they were just, it was a popular drink they were drinking too much of it, and then they were getting sick because of alcohol poisoning.
Well, that'll do it.
That will do it. Like, don't drink a ton. Absinthe is not a great base for your cocktail. It's a good modifier. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
Rim your glass with it. Use like a little half ounce to set off something. Use it as an atomizer to spray over top of your cocktail so you get good aromatics. Don't use it as a base. But it is. I think absinthe always kind of comes with that allure of something dangerous, something mysterious, something sexy.
Well, and it has a powerful enough taste and smell that you don't need much of it to have an effect on your drink.
Yeah. And also, the sort of anise flavor, that kind of like licorice flavor, I don't know. I think that also just makes sense for a seasonal cocktail, or Halloween.
Sure.
And there are other things you can use, you know, if you want that, but maybe you don't want to buy an expensive bottle of absinthe. We've talked about a lot of things have that flavor to it. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got pastis, you've got ouzo, aquavit. Some aquavits have fennel, which kind of same flavor profile. Maybe arak. So, mm-hmm. You know.
I know the first time I ever got a bottle of absinthe, I bought a gift kit that it came in. And it had, besides the bottle, it had like two glasses, and it had the thing that you put the sugar cube in and pour the water over the sugar cube into it and stuff like that. So that was the first time I'd ever seen it anywhere, and I bought the whole gift kit.
I remember that. You got that for you and Mom to try, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we were going somewhere, I think, for an anniversary, and I saw that, and I said, oh, let's try that. I didn't know you could sell that.
Well, it's pretty recent recent in like the last decade or two that it's been legal in the States. But it wasn't until fairly recently. I know it was in the time that I've been working in restaurants, so that's limits it to like a 20-year period.
Yeah.
But other spirits, you know, you mentioned Strega. There are a lot of spirits that have sort of witchy.
Yeah, that was what I went to, the witches. Yeah. I knew that was when we did the episode on that, talked about it coming from a witch. And so that was what made me think Strega when you said what one first one you think of.
Well, Strega comes from the Italian word for witch. And it's from Benevento, Italy, which is they had their own witch trials similar to how Salem had their witch trials. So it's known for its witches. The recipe for Strega supposedly comes directly from a witch. Was a gift to a young man who helped this witch out of a black walnut tree. So she said, thank you. Here's a recipe for booze. Strega was born. But also, speaking of black walnuts, Nocino, which I know you love, Dad, also has witchy origins. Those black walnut trees were considered magical and sacred in a lot of ancient religions. And the making of Nocino was part of magical practices and midsummer celebrations for many pre-Christian groups arrived in France and Italy. So Nocino, also great element if you want a spooky witchy vibe in your cocktail.
Oh yeah, or your coffee.
Yes. And also Cutty Sark scotch if you want a good base spirit. Now Cutty Sark is named, if you've seen the label, you know there's a ship on it, and that is named after a ship, but that ship takes its name from a witch. There's a story behind it that basically that there was this witch that a man was wandering in the woods. He saw some witches dancing in a circle. He was so entranced by this one beautiful witch, and she was wearing a dress that was called a cutty sark, just a sort of like white slip. And he couldn't stop himself. He called out like, way to go, cutty sark, like cheering her on as she danced, which is a bad thing to do to a witch, you know, minding her own business, dancing alone in the woods. So she started chasing him. And he ran from her, and he just barely made it over a body of water, which is can't cross bodies of water, and barely escaped her. But she was so fast that Cutty Sark became a name for a very fast ship, which is a little interesting because witches can't cross bodies of water. But anyway.
But they're a ship? Yeah.
So that's the basis for Cutty Sark. But hey, that's cool. Cutty Sark comes from a story about a witch.
And there's a lesson for you. If you come across a witch dancing alone in the woods, do not encourage her.
Mind your business. No, you can appreciate her. But yeah, don't mind your business. Let her dance.
I'm getting heck out of there. I'm going to be like that movie that just came out. Nope.
Yeah. I mean, that's the correct response. But, you know, I think all three of these spirits, Strega, Nocino, and Cutty Sark Scotch, they all actually go really well together. there are flavors mm-hmm. that correlate in all three of them. So if you want to do, I don't know, I haven't, you know, done it. I've tried the three of them together in a drink. But if you want to do some sort of Witch's Three or Hecate cocktail, I offer it up to you. There are three different witches there in cocktail in booze form.
Yeah. Here you go. We Witches Three, the Witches of Eastwick.
Something there. You just got to figure out the bitters and the balance, but it's a good idea. Now, heat. I think heat makes sense in a spooky mm-hmm. cocktail.
Sure, because you're going to burn in hell.
That felt directed at me, Dad.
No, I just meant in general. I didn't mean you. I meant you, the general public we're talking about.
Oh, well, maybe not. I don't know. That's not for us.
You
That's
still not have your, a chance. You
know. Your podcasters are not here to condemn you to hell. But
it's an observation. It's not a judgment.
Well, if you want some heat in your cocktail for whatever reason, whether it's to acclimate for eternal punishment or just because you like some spice, there are lots of ways to add heat to a drink. I don't need to go into all of them because, I mean, you know, there are plenty of ways to add spice and hot peppers. But some products that kind of do the work for you, because I will say one concern when you are like infusing a simple syrup with peppers or even cutting up like very spicy peppers to do an infusion, it gets everywhere. Like, I've napalmed in my kitchen trying to make like habanero syrup mm-hmm. before. You know, sometimes it's nice to just have a product that does the work for you. And for that, I like Ancho Reyes. It's a ancho chili liqueur. They have a couple different mm-hmm. versions. They have an Ancho Verde too. That's like a green chili liqueur. It's got a nice heat. It's got a nice earthy sweetness. It's a beautiful modifier. And there are also a couple brands of different, like, mole bitters, so they have that, like, chocolate spice heat profile to them. And I also like Bitterman's has a Hellfire Shrub. That is just a nice, it's a good amount of heat, a good vegetal heat to it, but it's mm-hmm. very consistent, so you can control how much you want in a cocktail drop by drop. So.
Oh, that's good.
Just buy
it. I'm not much on heat. I like a little bit where you detect it, but I don't like it where, you know, my eyes start watering, my nose starts running, and everything else. That's not fun.
Well, and that's sometimes one of the dangers of working with, like, especially like fresh produce. I've had like jalapeno margaritas on menus before where, you know, you have chopped jalapenos in your mise en place. So you're just throwing a couple jalapeno rings in your drink. But what you learn very quickly is that jalapenos have wildly different levels of heat, jalapeno mm-hmm. to jalapeno. So you make a standard recipe and say, I'll use three rings of jalapenos. And some cocktails, that's fine. Some cocktails, it's not enough. Some cocktails, you've ruined your guest's night.
Yeah. Well, I know there's sometimes I'll try one of the ones that have heat, and you take a drink and you swallow it and you go, I wasn't too bad. That's okay. Then all of a sudden, about 3 seconds later, oh, there it is. Oh, wait a minute. I need some water.
That's usually the worst kind, too, because that means it's like an oily heat. Like, it's taking a second to permeate, and now it's there.
Yeah. I hate that when that happens. Yeah, why did I put that in me?
Anytime I'm putting a heat on the menu, I want to be able to control it. I want to know drink to drink how much is there, so I like to have it as controlled as possible. And if that means buying a product that comes consistently with the same level mm-hmm. of heat, or just, you know, being very controlling over the batches you make of syrups and stuff, I think that's a good rule mm-hmm. to follow.
Yeah.
Because that gets us into, I think, the next couple points I have to make, which is some things can be dangerous that come up in drinks this time of year. We had, I think, actually a question on Patreon about how to put smoke in your drinks, both the flavor and the element. And there are lots of safe ways to do it. But there's also one very popular unsafe way to do it, and that is via dry ice.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a cool effect. It's spooky.
But you don't want to touch it, and you don't certainly don't want to swallow it.
And I feel like every year I see some horrible article about someone that swallowed a piece of dry ice at a Halloween party or at somebody's fancy gastronomical experience restaurant. Like, as a rule, don't serve your guests chunks of dry ice.
Well, I was surprised to learn how available it is, because I thought you had to know somebody that worked in a government lab or something to get some. I didn't. They said it's in most major grocery stores that you can go in and that they have it in there, in the, not in the frozen food, but it, where you have a freezer, like with bags of ice or something like that. They should have a cooler nearby that's got dry ice in it. And I was surprised to learn that.
No, it is. It is. I've worked some parties where it's an element of the design, you know, like we'll put it in a basis like around, like have a big punch bowl and then you have dry ice around it. So mm-hmm. it gives the smoky effect. It looks cool. But I think having a separation between the dry ice and the thing being consumed is good. If you want to use it for the effect, you can use the effect, but don't serve it to anybody. There are other ways to get smoke on a drink that will contribute flavor and aromas and mm-hmm. also not contribute chemical burns.
Well, now, it did say that if you went to a party and somebody served you a drink with that, it doesn't do anything to the drink. I mean, you could drink it once it melts, but yes. they said you should wait until it fully melts before you drink that drink, but it won't hurt you. It's not like it's putting off anything poison in the drink.
Oh, no. The smoke is not dangerous. Its presence isn't dangerous. But coming in contact with the actual piece of dry ice in your mouth is dangerous.
Should be avoided at all costs.
If you can't hold it in your hand, you probably shouldn't put it in your head.
Yeah, that's right.
But to the ways that you can have smoke in a drink that are safe and delicious, I think, you know, starting off with, like, the most obvious, just liquors that already have a smoky element to them. You know, there are a lot of naturally smoky spirits, like mezcal. The piñas, or the agave plants that are used to ferment and then distill into mezcal, are first smoked, usually buried underground and smoked. So they come with a nice earthy, smoky flavor in the spirit. Similarly, scotch, peated scotch. You know, mm-hmm. we smoke the peat before we make the scotch, so you get that, like, rich, earthy smoke in peated scotch. You know, outside of spirits, one of my favorite ways of getting a flavor of smoke in a drink is using Lapsang Souchong tea, which is a very smoky tea. You can make it into a syrup. You can infuse it into a base spirit. No danger. Delicious. Safe. But if you want physical smoke, you want smoking you drink, I get it.
The smoking gun.
Exactly, actually. smoking guns, they're not that expensive. They're very easy to use, and they are exactly what they sound like. It's just a little, I don't know, it's like a glue gun, but it's got a heating element, and you put your wood chips, whatever, and you can buy different flavored wood chips for it. You mm-hmm. put them in, yeah. and then you pull the trigger, and it expels smoke. And you can put it over the top of your drink. It'll linger on top. Usually we use it more for, like, smoking either the glasses before you serve. So you make your mm-hmm. cocktail, and then right before you pour the cocktail in the glass, you smoke the glass, and then you pour the drink in. Or you can also use it if you want to actually smoke, like, a batch drink. You can do that, too. You actually pump smoke into, like, a bottle that you can then seal and let your drink sit there with the smoke in it, and it'll infuse into the actual batch. So they're very useful tools. And, again, not that expensive. Very versatile.
Yeah, I had a smoked bourbon. Mom and I went somewhere. It's about a year ago. We were looking for somewhere different to go, and I know this sounds bad, but we went to the Outback to go to the bar. I mean, we didn't go there to eat. We went there to their bar because there was some drinks on the menu that really looked good. And they had this smoked bourbon drink, and they put the bourbon, like one of those big single ice cubes, and the bourbon in the glass. And then they put the glass in like a, it looked like that glass case like the rose is in Beauty and the Beast. You know,
okay.
with the glass cover over it and the wooden bottom, and they put it in that, and then they do the smoking gun, and that whole dome fills up with the smoke and everything there. And then they bring that over and set it down in front of you and pull the glass top off. And when they do, then all the smoke is there and comes out, and the smoke was really good. And the bourbon was, I mean, it made the bourbon taste better than any bourbon I'd ever drank before.
Yeah, I mean, they're very effective. And you can also, if you don't want to, I mean, if you don't want to have the full gun, you can actually buy it now. There's a lot of, like, seasoned, it's almost like incense, but it's bar specific. There are a couple brands on the market, and it's kind of the same deal. Like, you'll light one and you'll put the glass over it. They're sized mm-hmm. so you can actually fit a glass over it, and they just burn smoke into your mm-hmm. glass. So you don't have to have any mm-hmm. electrical elements. You can just light these little babies and they smoke your glass for you. And they're also really, you know, they're cute. They're not too expensive. They're fun to play around with. And it's better than dry ice because you get a flavor to your smoke and an aroma.
Yeah. Well, and I saw another one. It was called, I want to say they called it like a mushroom top that fit down over like a regular rocks glass. And it had like a area in the middle that contained the wood chips. Then yeah. You just use like a, you know, a flame and shoot the flame there, and the smoke fills the glass up, and then you've got a, where you set the chips on fire, then you got another one that covers that, and I guess it kind of smothers out the flames and lets it just smoke and fill the glass up, and then they give you the drink, take that off.
I've seen some of those sort of like, I don't know, smoking stations for your glassware, like on Etsy, actually. People make them. Mm-hmm. So they're just cute little like constructions, and they have a little hole for you to put whatever in, burn it, put your glass over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit gimmicky, but it also is a gimmick that works, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I would have thought it's just one of those things for looks, but it really does change the flavor of it. It's really good. And as a bartender, they said that if you want to make drinks that people were like, what are they having over there? I want one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, that a lot of times it'll have that kind of effect too.
There was one bar that I went to that was doing it, and they actually just had a big piece of, it was like cherry wood. I don't know wood. Is that a type of wood?
Oh, yeah, cherry wood is, yeah.
So they just had a slab of cherry wood, and they would just, like, they would scrape off the burnt parts, and then they would light it again. So mm-hmm. It was just the wood was, and they would just put, like, they would just put, like, four glasses on it, and mm-hmm. It was just on fire in little places and let it smoke into the glasses. Yeah. But it was a good... It, like, visual, because right. You just had this slab of wood behind the bar that you just burned pieces of until it started to smoke, and then put the glass over it. Big hot cherry wood.
Yeah.
It was for a smoked Manhattan, that one.
It is effective, because Mom and I were having ours, and when they brought over, like, a second one for us, there was a guy that had just come in and sat down at the bar, and he goes, what the hell is that? I want one of those.
I mean, you know, it gets your attention. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you don't want to invest in a smoking gun or smoking elements, there are other ways to do it. I think on a smaller scale, I've done smoked herbs on drinks before. Like if your herbs are just they can't be like dry, but like a little dry, like a rosemary sprig. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just kind of light the end of the rosemary until it catches on fire. The fire will quickly dissipate, and then you just get a good like minute of smoke. Mm-hmm. Dissipating from the rosemary makes you feel like you're in church, but it gives you good aromatics. You need a drink that stands up to the aromatics of smoked rosemary, because it's very powerful, but it works beautiful. It's a good presentation, and I think specifically, again, if you want a spooky sort of witchy cocktail, serving your drink with some, you know, burning rosemary sticking out of it or some burning juniper is like very effective.
Yeah, just don't have it as dry as like the tree at Christmas Vacation when Uncle What's-His-Name smokes a cigar over by it, and whoomph, there it goes.
Well, I mean, it's sitting in a wet glass of liquid, so hopefully it can't, you know, it's a bit of a contained burn. Yeah. But also, I mean, classic, this feels obvious, but smoking peels is a thing. It's not, again, not just for looks. If you've ever seen a bartender squeeze like an orange peel or grapefruit peel and then there's a little mm-hmm. flash of flame,
mm-hmm.
We don't just do that because it looks cool, although it does look cool. That is to slightly roast the oils and the peel before you express it over the drink. And it does give a smoky flavor to your drink really quickly. Mm-hmm. The process, you make your peel, and then you just want to warm up the exterior with your lighter or your mm-hmm. matches or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it starts to sort of blister and open up those oils. And then when you spray it, you express it over your drink. You get those oils in it, you drop it in there, you just get a lovely, it's a show and a flavor note all in one. It's lovely.
That'd be good. I also saw them set like cinnamon sticks on fire and use those for smoking, and star anise spice. You set those on fire, blow them out, and let the smoke, you know, fill it up. That looked pretty good. I like cinnamon, so that'd be a pretty good one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You just need like a good... strong torch, and some like the butane torches, I feel like you can taste that in the drink. I don't recommend that. I've seen those on drinks and they look cool. I had a drink served to me that had like toasted marshmallows on top of it, but they used a little butane guy to do it, and it's like, I'm smelling butane. I know what I'm supposed to be smelling, but this is what I'm smelling. But, you know. So lots of ways to get flavorful, beautiful, delicious smoke in your drink without messing with the dry ice. If you want to do it, I'm not going to stop you, but, you know.
You could tell people that's the ghost in my drink. The smoke, that's a ghost in there, and I'm pouring my drink in, and the ghost is going to share it with me. Yeah.
But, you know, while we're on the topic of things that can be a little dangerous, another one that has come up recently. I saw there's, and I'm not going to name names, but there is an account I follow that usually makes really cool drinks, but they were using activated charcoal in a Halloween-themed drink. Every year, people think it's fine. The thing with activated charcoal is it can inhibit the absorption. It can bind to certain medications and make them ineffective. Now, there's, you know, back and forth medical debate on how dangerous this could actually be, how effective it could be. But again, I feel like it falls into the category of we just do it for a look, an effect, which there are lots of ways to do that are completely safe. Why bother with it?
Absolutely.
I get it. It gives it a good, rich black flavor, but there are other ways to do that. So if you want a deep black cocktail, I would start with, there are actually some spirits that are like dyed black. There's black vodka on the marketplace. I don't know about that. There are better ways to do it versus just buying something that has dye, that you're purchasing it just to have dye in it. We talked about absinthe and anise and licorice flavors. You can also buy black licorice powders or multiple candies that you can make into syrups or infusions, and you'll get a really a natural deep black color and that black licorice flavor. Not everybody likes black licorice, but if it's your vibe, then that's a great way to get a deep black cocktail.
That's what I've been saving all those black jelly beans for.
just throw them in a, just infuse them into a bottle of spirit.
Yep,
melt absolutely them down. Make it. Yep. Something a bit more natural. Black sesame seeds are great. You can grind them into a paste. You can infuse them into a syrup. Depending on the concentration, you can get a nice deep black color from black sesame seeds in infusions or syrups. And it's a delicious flavor. You know, you can make like an orgeat out of sesame seeds.
Mm-hmm. Nocino is a nice black drink.
Yeah, Nocino already has the witchy connotation, and it's made from black walnuts. Now, I do think this varies brand to brand. That one that you sent me, where was that from? Watershed?
That was from Watershed Distillery, yeah.
That had a lovely concentrated black color. Like, anytime I put that in a drink at more than, like, 3/4 ounce, that drink was solid black. That was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some brands that aren't quite as concentrated, but you can absolutely get a nice natural black dye from a good bottle of Nocino.
And it's good, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, like, look, dyes are, there is sort of an industry standard, and not just in drink making and culinary arts, too, that, like, if you're adding dye, you're cheating, and that somehow makes what you're making less quality. And I would like you to have that, if that's how you feel, you need to have that same energy for things like Campari or Aperol, that are made with artificial dyes. There are lots of spirits that are revered and beloved that have artificial dyes in them or have coloring added to them to get the coloring consistently. You don't want to add, you know, a bunch of heavy dyes to an individual drink. You don't want to dye your guest's teeth blue, but a little bit in a batch bottle that will dilute into the color you're looking for, that's totally fine. You're not going to pick up on the flavor, and it's going to give you that color effect, again, without any danger.
That's right. No one's dying here.
Well, you're dying, but we're not dying. and there are very good, like, high-grade food dyes on the market, too. You know, they're ones that if you have one of those palettes that you can pick up on a little bit of food dye somewhere in the line of making your drink, kudos to you. I don't. I cannot.
Nope. No. They're just different colors. They don't taste different to me.
And, you know, in the sort of color arena, I think color is a very strong component, especially in the realm of spooky cocktails, you know, something mm-hmm. that's black or purple or
yeah, you
or
want something green. To be fun, you know? Yeah. It's got to be fun and festive.
You know, and I know it's a little cheesy, but I actually love the edible glitters, the luster dust that you can add to cocktails because it doesn't just add glitter, it adds color too, and they're very strong colors. Mm-hmm. A little bit of luster dust adds an absurd amount of glitter and an absurd amount of color to your drink. So if you haven't played around with them, I know it does make a drink a little whimsical and a little silly, but I like them. I think they're fine. But in the natural way of getting things, like purple, let's say, that's a good witchy color for a cocktail. I've been messing around with ube extract recently.
Mm. Ube, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's like got a very rich, it's a rich purple color. It's got a nice sort of vanilla scent to it. It pairs really well with like rums and tequilas. You can just, I don't know, the bottle I got is from McCormick, so it's a pretty readily available brand. It gives you a nice, it gives you color, gives you flavor, and a beautiful deep purple color. Butterfly pea blossom, standard. A lot of people know the gimmick there. It changes colors as you add acids to it. Mm-hmm. But it's a natural colorant. It's lovely. Just remember that if you add a lot of lemon juice to something infused with butterfly pea blossom, you'll get a pink drink, not a purple drink. Pink drinks aren't spooky.
Well, but that'd be interesting.
I've seen it like in a witchcraft cocktail, you know, like you mm-hmm. serve it with the citrus on the side. So people add the citrus and then you stir it and now it's pink. That's cute. There's also like Empress Gin on the market that's already purple from pea blossom. Mm-hmm. My honest opinion is that there are better gins that you can buy at the same price point and just infuse with pea blossom and get a stronger infusion. But if you don't want to have to bother with the work, Empress is right there. It's good. It's readily available. And then there's also, you know, like creme de violette or creme de cassis. Both have lovely violet, you know, magenta hues to them.
Well, that sounds like a wide variety to choose from to come up with the drink for to make your festivities more fun.
Yeah. So there's just a little, some suggestions, some options. But ultimately, I think the number one thing to keep in mind is that you're being safe with what you're putting in your drinks. You know, have fun with it. But there are lots and lots of ways to make a lot of delicious, colorful, cool-looking, smoky, spicy, whatever, Halloween drinks without endangering your guests.
So just pick your theme and do your thing. How about that? Was that a good saying?
Pick your thing and do your thing. Pick your theme and do your thing. Is that what you said?
Yeah, there you go. Pick your theme and do your thing.
Sounds good. All right. Well, I hope you make some drinks this Halloween. If you do, let us know. Send us some pictures. I would love to see them. I hope you have a safe and happy Halloween.
Did that sound safe and happy?
That sounded a little spooky. But, I mean, you did damn us all to hell, so I don't know what I was expecting.
Well, there you go. Coffee break's over. Back on your heads.
I know what that means. All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks, Dad, for being here.
Well, thanks, Tay, for having me. I always learn something, even if it's spooky. Mwahaha.
If you want to find us on social media, we are NeatBoozeCast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to email us, we are NeatTheBoozeCast@gmail.com. If you want to check out our Patreon, we have rewards and all sorts of stuff and bonus videos. Check that out. We are deeply appreciative to our patrons. This show gets made because of you. And if you want to talk about your spooky cocktail ideas, you can do that
at Neat the BoozeCast group page. We're on Facebook. Blah, blah. Will we count? 1, 2, 3.
That's the place to do that there. Thank you. All right. Hey, thanks again. I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been...
blah. A one and a two blah. And a three. Blah, blah. I want to bite your neck and fuck your blood. Blah. Oh. We'll make a drink out of it.